Student Affairs Committee.
I don't believe we have anything to bring to the board.
I thought y'all had enough.
Then we'll move right on to the Executive Committee.
Action item number one.
You're already on the spot. I didn't even know your name, man.
Thank you, Chair Milliken. I'm excited today to bring a couple pieces of good information from our philanthropy team in the last couple of months since we last met. Action item one is seeking approval for a philanthropic naming of Lieutenant Colonel Michael R. Boo's Room of Requirement located in the ROTC space of EA Diddle Arena. Lieutenant Colonel Michael Boo served as an assistant professor of military science from 2020 to 2023. During that time, then Major Booz earned a Master of Arts in Organizational Leadership while teaching, mentoring, and coaching the WKU ROTC cadets and future leaders of the U.S. Army. Lieutenant Colonel Booz has dedicated more than 20 years of his life serving this country, first starting as a helicopter mechanic upon enlistment in 2003, following positions of increased responsibility, including platoon leader during a deployment to Afghanistan in 2016 and 17. He returned stateside to serve as a battalion operations officer and was then assigned to WKU in 2020. Lieutenant Colonel Booz is now stationed at Fort Knox, where he serves as the deputy operations officer at the Army Reserve Aviation Command. In addition to this programmatic gift, Lieutenant Colonel Booz also established a scholarship fund to provide support for WKU ROTC cadets who intend to pursue aviation in the U.S. Army. His hope is that our students have a little less worry as they are starting their aviation careers. Lieutenant Colonel Tody Struzik, who is WKU's department chair and professor of military science, said that Lieutenant Colonel Booz is a dedicated and very compassionate leader that truly cares about the cadets and their education, making this a very fitting honor for his generosity and support of the program.
Any questions or comments before I call for a motion? I'll entertain a motion to approve the philanthropic naming of Lieutenant Colonel Michael Booz Room of Requirement located in EA Diddle Arena.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Motion carries. Second item.
Thank you, Chair. I am seeking approval of gifts and pledges by private donors that are eligible for the state match as part of the Council on Post-Secondary Education Endowment Match Program through the Comprehensive University Excellence Trust Fund. Don and Irene Disney of Ocala, Florida, pledged $1 million for the Donald R. and Irene S. Disney Dean of College and Health and Human Services. This fund provides support for the dean and supports an active teaching and research agenda. The donor committed to fulfilling this pledge over a five-year period, which began December of 2024. President Caboni and I, along with Dean Bosta, were able to visit with the Disneys a few weeks ago in Florida, celebrate and appreciate their investment in endowing our first dean's position at WKU. Larkin Ritter of Bowling Green, Kentucky, pledged $500,000 to establish the Larkin Ritter Scholarship Fund for Engineering and the Larkin Ritter Faculty Fund for Engineering to benefit students and programs in the School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. He fulfilled all of those commitments in December of 2024, and of that pledge, $425,900 will be matched by the state. The McCormick family, including Diana Holcomb of Georgetown, Craig McCormick of Bowling Green, John McCormick of Burlington, Marine Louise Parker of La Mesa, California, and Nina Sewell of Bowling Green, have all pledged $50,000 to honor the memory of their mother and father, Betty Lou and Donald Raymond McCormick, by establishing a scholarship fund in the Department of Nursing. Each donor committed to fulfilling their respective pledge over a five-year period, which began in December of 2024. In total, we will request an additional $1,475,900 in gift and pledges to be matched by the state. This, combined with the first $1 million the board approved in August of 2024, completes our portion of the available matching funds. We are incredibly grateful for the support of our alumni and friends who stepped up to this challenge to support students and faculties in our STEM plus H disciplines, and they have created a lasting legacy at the university.
I'll entertain a motion to approve gifts and pledges by private donors that are eligible for the state match as a part of the Council on Post-Secondary Education Endowment Match Program through the Comprehensive University Excellence Trust Fund. So moved. Have a motion, have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Next item is item number 3. And Mr. Stewart, let me call on you to give us a presentation about that, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You know, if you pay attention to college athletics right now on every campus, football is the biggest driver of everything. It's the biggest driver of the narrative on every campus. It's also the biggest driver of revenue. It's never been more important to be good at football than it is now. If you're not good at football, you're in a world of hurt. Fortunately, over the last 10 years, we've been very good at football. You know, over the last 11 years, we've been to 10 bowl games, and we've won 7. And Tyson Helton's been a big part of that. He was here as an assistant coach previously, and obviously the last 6 years as our head coach. That's been great for us. The byproduct of that is other people have noticed. And he actually had 3 different schools approach him over the last season with opportunities to be their head coach. Fortunately for us, for a variety of reasons, it didn't work out. But what we felt in talking to Dr. Gavone was, given the success that he's had, that we needed to recognize that. And this contract here is essentially very similar to the one that he had. It gives him more security, which he has earned. And there's a $50,000 annual retention bonus that starts in March of 2026. That will be paid for by the Hilltopper Athletic Foundation. That will not come out of our state budget. That's the only change in compensation. And when, you know, Dr. Caboni and I talked, the way we looked at it was from this standpoint. If he had left for another coaching job, and we went through the interview process, and I came to you all and said, we'd vetted a lot of candidates, and we have somebody that's really interested in our job. They've been a head coach for the last 6 years. They've been to 6 bowl games. They've won 4, and they've played for 2 conference championships, and it fits within our financial framework. I think everybody would say that would be a great hire. You really should hire that person. Well, that person's Tyson Helton. That's what he's done here. That's who I've described. So, you know, for that reason, and the other thing I would point out, too, that, you know, sometimes this gets missed a little bit, but in 2013, when Bobby Petrino was our head football coach, he made $850,000. Adjusted for inflation, that's over $1.1 million in value in today's numbers. So Tyson Helton's contract today, I know sometimes with football salaries, there can be a little bit of sticker shock, but his contract today is less than what we were paying our head football coach back in 2013. There aren't many, if any, programs in the country that have had the success that we've had over the last 10 years and are compensating their head football coach at a rate lower than what it was 10 years ago. So that speaks volumes of him and his loyalty here and really what he's been able to achieve, and I think really what everybody with our football program has been able to achieve. And that's why we need continuity. You know, if you have somebody that's really good at what they do, it's never been more important to keep them here. And that's what he's been. I just feel keeping him here, he's an outstanding program manager, gives us the best chance for sustained success.
Todd, what was our football team GPA in the fall semester?
Yeah, it was actually over a 3.3 GPA for the team.
And a graduation rate higher than the overall university graduation rate.
Yes, yes.
Those metrics just speak all kinds of things.
It's good to win. It's even better to win the right way.
Yeah. All right, do we have any questions or comments? Anybody have anything they want to say about this? Then I would entertain a motion to approve the athletic employment agreement between West Kentucky University and Tyson Helton.
So moved.
Have a motion, second?
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you.
We have an information item, a legislative update, I believe.
That's correct. And Jennifer Smith joins us. She is recovering from influenza A and did not want to infect anyone in the room. She was in my office before being diagnosed. I managed to avoid it, I think.
Hey, listen, if you all have any idea how many times I've been in the car with him hacking his head off, and I've not gotten it. It just works, however way, whatever way it does, it works. Well, thank you all for giving me a few minutes. I'm going to make this as brief as possible because I know I'm standing in between you all and lunch. So I really just wanted to give you a couple of things. So this is only day 12, but also day 12 is basically halfway through session because it's a short session, so we only have 30 working days. So one thing that has been interesting this year, the House decided to split their education committee into two separate committees. So we've got one focus on K-12 and one focus on post-secondary. What I have found through some of our meetings with the new post-secondary committee is that a lot of these legislators don't know a lot about post-secondary, so it's really given us a great opportunity to be able to, you know, teach them kind of what we're doing, what we're here for, what our mission is, and I think it's been very helpful for a lot of these legislators to have these one-on-one meetings with me to be able to kind of go through everything with them. I had one legislator say, I really know nothing about university, so teach me. So it's been kind of nice. It's really opened up that communication between me and a lot of these legislators I haven't had a chance to really get to know yet. So anyway, so that's just been something that's been kind of interesting and new development. So as you all will remember, last session we had the bill that would have allowed WKU to offer PhD programs. And that changed into a study that Deloitte did over really the summer and fall of last year. They had to have that into the Interim Joint Community Education back in December. And so really that study showed that WKU was ready to go. It was very positive for us. It also studied the other requests from the other universities that they had last session as well. So now what we have going forward is how do we move forward on these items. And so there have been three bills filed that would directly affect WKU. The first one is House Bill 118. And so this is one that is very specific, WKU only. We can offer up to 5 PhD programs. The second one that was filed was Senate Bill 134. And that one with us, with our PhD program, and then it left Murray State and Eastern Kentucky University with their request as well. And then there's House Bill 499, and this was just filed yesterday. And it strikes, there's a section in the statute, Section 6, and it is all prohibitive language for the comprehensive university. And so what this bill does is it strikes Section 6, so that removes all of that prohibitive language. And then it also puts in, it would require CPE to determine what the 5 high demand workforce areas would be that we could then offer PhD programs in. Now, it goes on to say that, you know, the advisory group of the president would have to determine kind of what the criteria is to be able to offer the thing, you know, that kind of thing. So, not real sure which one of those is going to move. And whichever one does move, I don't know that it's going to look exactly as it does as it's filed today. I do expect to see probably a hearing on at least one of these bills maybe next week. And so we'll know a little bit more then. Does anybody have any questions on that before I move forward? No? Okay. So one other bill I want to mention is House Bill 491. This is a statutory relief bill that the university as a whole has been working on over the interim. And so really this just kind of brings up, kind of codifies or changes some language to make it match with other statutes that are out there that really just are specific to post-secondary education. It changes the threshold for, like, if we had to purchase some equipment. Right now, I think it's at $200,000. This would change it to $500,000.
That was a bigger ask from UK specifically for some of the medical equipment that they have to purchase. And so just trying to make that a little bit easier to be able to do. That one was filed, I think, on Tuesday. So think that hopefully that will remove some time next week as well, maybe a hearing next week. So those are kind of the real positive things. Then just three other bills, just to let you all know, are out there and that we are keeping a close eye on. House Bill 4 is an anti-BCI bill. House Bill 424 is posting a review for our faculty. And then House Bill 434 is a tuition freeze bill. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on those things and see where those go. Do you all have any questions?
Jennifer, how many meetings do we have next week with Senate and House leadership?
Nine. You can tell he looked at his calendar a little bit closer than I have for next week.
Does anybody have any questions of Jennifer about in this legislation? Jennifer, thank you very much for that report. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That concludes the morning meeting, unless someone else has something that they would like to bring up to lay it a little bit further. Understand there's lunch here.
Yeah, out in the.
It is 12:30-ish. How long y'all want to take for lunch?
30 minutes.
Good. Yeah. Is 30 minutes good?
Yeah.
All right, we're trying to be back here then at 1 o'clock and proceed with the rest of our agenda, which Beth has now pointed out. Let me go ahead.